My internship is primarily focusing on the renewable energy campaign that the Sitka Conservation Society has been working on. And here in Sitka, that means specifically starting with the Blue Lake Hydroelectric Expansion Project. In researching what types of renewable energy are the most feasible and readily available here in our area, hydroelectric energy is that number one source. And so my position was created to kind of overcome some political obstacles that exist. Currently, energy legislation in the U.S. Senate and House is focusing on renewable energy, which is good. But hydroelectric energy isn't seen as renewable. And that's due to a long history of hydro being extremely disruptive to fish and wildlife habitats in the lower 48. Here in Southeast Alaska, and the Blue Lake project is a perfect example. We're not looking at blocking a free-flowing river, putting a dam on it, and getting energy from that. We're looking at lake tap hydro, which we get the energy from, you know, alpine lakes with no native fish populations for the most part, such as Blue Lake, and we harness the energy from that. And so it's a totally different issue that's very, very low impact.
Is it a tough sell? Do you actually talk to people, staff, members of Congress back in Washington and have them go, oh, I don't know, Lexi?
Well, my impression is, just starting locally here in Sitka, the project has huge, huge community support. It's actually a really, really great project to work on for that reason, in that, you know, constituency groups from all backgrounds in this community support the project because it's, I mean, honestly, it's a no-brainer. It's good for the environment, the economy, our social health. And then going statewide, our elected officials are generally very supportive of this as well. For them, you know, they're the ones working with other leadership back in D.C. And in D.C., it's just, it's a foreign idea to have this type of hydro because it's not what hydro has been known as throughout history. So, yeah, it's a hard sell.
Scott, I know that tradition sort of suggests that for the Forest Service, the priority has been managing timber. Is it an unfamiliar territory for the agency to start getting into issues like renewable power? And maybe it's been overshadowed by the big timber issues.
Sure. And I think that Tonga's issues of settlement and conflict is centered around timber. We have a robust recreation program and growing into a renewable energy program that have been going on. For instance, Blue Lake right now is a watershed that the water's produced off the national forest. We've been providing those resources to this community since the dam has been built, and this will give us an opportunity to enhance that source of economic renewal and sustainability to the communities. We're getting a lot more interest in hydropower across the forest. We have lots of opportunities above fish barriers where hydro probably makes a lot of sense. If we measure that against burning of fossil fuels or other sorts of energy projects.
All right, let's talk about Blue Lake for a minute. Dean Orbison, before we went on the air, we were talking about how Sitka's population hasn't really grown much over the past couple of decades, yet the increased pressure on our electrical system is, I mean, you can follow the curve.
What's happened in the last, say, 3 years is the price of oil has gone up. It's gone up and down, and now it's going back up. And back when Green Lake was put online in the 80s, there were many houses in Sitka that were wired up for electric heat because electricity was cheap then. It was like 3 cents a kilowatt hour. And then the price of electricity went up and the price of oil pretty much stayed the same. And people decided, you know, these monitor stoves, they're pretty cool. You can actually generate, you can heat your house with a monitor stove cheaper than with electricity. And so people put in monitor stoves, and the amount of power that we generated actually went down a little bit. Well, then the price of oil 3 years ago skyrocketed more or less. It turns out that when oil costs more than $2.85 a gallon, you're better off to plug in an electric heater. And that's what people are doing. And so we're running out of capacity with the current electric system, and the easiest way to increase that capacity is to expand the Blue Lake Project, and that's what we're planning to do. One of the very interesting things, if you estimate how many BTUs come into Sitka, that's energy in general, whether it's heating oil, gasoline, diesel fuel for boats or whatever, it turns out that 20% of the BTUs that come to town are hydroelectrical energy. And so 80% is petroleum products. And so it doesn't take much conversion from petroleum to electrical for us to double our demand or our load. And that has the potential of happening.
Lexi also suggested that maybe we should have been doing some of this a few years ago. I mean, I don't think anybody can look back and say, oh, you didn't read the crystal ball correctly. But as far as timing goes, is Blue Lake, are we going to pull off Blue Lake in time to sort of make the ends meet as far as capacity and demand?
We're trying, but you also have to remember that we will do the very best we can to pull it off. But you have to realize that if we don't make it, we will resort to diesel power. And when we resort to diesel power, the electric rates go up, and then electricity is no longer economical. So the whole system will control itself in spite of us.
Lexi, when I hear Dean say we'd have to burn diesel fuel to meet electrical demand in Sitka, that doesn't sound sustainable.
Yeah, that's not the option that we want to see. The biggest challenge in working with this hydro issue is that it really, hydro in terms of national legislation and energy policy really falls into a gray area. On one hand, we have conventional sources of energy. So we have oil, natural gas, that type of thing. And on the other hand, we have renewable energy, which is coming out and is highly publicized as wind turbines, solar panels, geothermal. And hydropower has a reputation because of the way it's been constructed in the past. And so my job is to find out how we can push these types of low-impact hydro projects that we have, like Blue Lake, and put them into the renewable energy category, because they're really different than the big dams that we see in the lower 48. And when I'm talking with other environmental groups around the state and the nation and elected officials, I express that. I say, our plan B is to burn more diesel, and that's not sustainable. That's definitely not renewable. It's more expensive, and it's dirty, and our community doesn't prefer that at all. So that's what we're trying to avoid.
And the guys whose input you solicit and who back you up when you go in and make that kind of argument are the Scott Snelsons and Dean Orbisons of our town.
I mean, I've been working with state agencies and other environmental organizations, our elected leaders, business leaders, kind of the whole scope.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in, Lexi. I guess next week, Travis Clemens, who is sort of your counterpart, mm-hmm. he's the energy and sustainability intern with the electric department, is going to come in and sort of tie a knot around, put a ribbon around all the things that you and he have been working on this summer, and we can kind of wrap up this series of interviews about Sitka's electrical energy future. And thanks to you, Dean Orbison, and thanks to you, Scott Snelson.